Let's say the government wants an object that can be of no help in any prosecution, but it claims might help them track suspected terrorists. So it gets a court order to open up the object to get at the evidence inside. The company that can crack it open says no. If it was the maker of a big steel safe, the company might be able to say no to the government. But in this case, the object is an iPhone 5C, and the company, of course, is Apple. A California judge has ordered Apple to bypass privacy functions on the iPhone 5C used by one of the San Bernardino shooters, Syed Rizwan Farouk. But Apple is opposing the FBI request and the court order. This might just end up being the signature case on privacy versus security in the age of encryption. Katie Benner is a technology reporter for our partner, the New York Times, and she's been following the case. Katie Benner, welcome.
Nice to be here.
So what's the issue here? I mean, this phone is of no value in a particular prosecution, and I can certainly understand where it might be connected to other suspicious people. What's Apple saying it's not going to do here?
So Apple has basically said that it does not want to open up the phone for the government, but more importantly, it doesn't want to comply with the part of the government order that is essentially asking Apple to create a skeleton key to get into this phone. And the reason that Apple cites is that even though it is being asked to do it in just this one case, it feels it would set a dangerous precedent, allowing the government to then go in continuously asking for this sort of skeleton key or backdoor way to thwart Apple's encryption.
What is the government's case here? I mean, do they have to have probable cause that there is a specific suspect here, or does the Patriot Act allow them to basically take this phone as a suspicious object all by itself?
Well, so the government knows that the phone was used by the shooter in the San Bernardino massacre. And the government also knows that the phone was actually owned by the San Bernardino County government office where that person worked. So there's no doubt that it was the suspect's phone. And Apple has already given the government information that was backed up on the user's iCloud account. But the last backup was in October, quite a few weeks before the shooting actually happened. So what the government suspects is that the shooter disabled his iCloud automatic backup so that there would be no record of certain conversations or communications that he had had before the shooting. And so they want Apple to go into the phone to see what is left on the actual piece of hardware.
Why can't the government just hire somebody, you know, at a high school in Silicon Valley to do this?
Well, one of the things about Apple is that Apple's done a great job with encryption. In the very last iteration of the iPhone software, iOS 9, they created such strong encryption that not even Apple can break into it.
So it does require that Apple cooperate here. It's not something that anyone could hack into.
Exactly.
Where does this go in terms of appeals? And can they just bring federal marshals into Tim Cook's office and basically end this?
Well, that will be interesting to see. And I think people are sort of waiting to figure out what the government's next step is. The government has yet to issue a statement, but certainly they'll be in communication with Apple and they're going to fight this. This is an ongoing, long-standing battle between law enforcement agencies like the FBI and Apple, as well as other large tech companies that have said again and again and again, we don't believe that thwarting strong encryption is really the way to keep the country and people in the United States safer.
Legally speaking, is there an analog to strong encryption, someone deciding to disable the cloud backup function and keep their phone, you know, very, very private? You know, is that like the trunk of a car, the glove box of a car, or a safe inside someone's home? Is it protected in any way constitutionally, or is it unprotected because of certain aspects of the Patriot Act right now?
Well, Apple often uses this analogy. They say that asking Apple to break into a phone is like calling a locksmith to break into an individual person's home, to break into a safe in their home, which is not something you would ask the maker of the lock or the maker of the safe to do. And that's sort of the way that they want us to see this. The government sees it otherwise. It says we already ask telco companies to tap phones for us in cases where we think that it's warranted, and this is similar. So that's where the battle line is drawn.
And is Apple possibly using this as an opportunity to extend their brand as the hero of all civil libertarians and the kind of the good guy in all consumer respects here?
Certainly, and Apple is doing everything it can to portray this opposition as part of its bigger principled defense of privacy, and that its motivation is to preserve its own reputation for robust encryption. And that is also a really, as you point out, powerful marketing tool, because right now there are rising concerns all around the world about everything from identity theft to cybercrime to electronic surveillance.
And is Apple distinguishable between Android and Google and Microsoft, or are they in the same boat here? I mean, does Apple have a case to say that we're different from those other companies?
Other technology companies, including Microsoft and Facebook and Google, have all gotten caught up in this order to help the government with investigations in one way or another. So all tech companies face this issue, and a lot of tech companies have also come down on the side of we do want to preserve privacy, and no, we don't want to just create backdoors for the government that it can use to get into our technology and use to spy on users.
Well, it's a very interesting battle legally and in terms of marketing and branding for just how the tech industry is going to be perceived in the future. Katie, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Katie Benner is a technology reporter for our partner, The New York Times.